So our focus today is on the Uricont project. They're essentially writing the blueprint for a circular low-carbon industry for these exact materials.
They're completely redefining how advanced composites get reused and recycled across Europe.
And we've got the latest updates from two, let's say, foundational pillars of this project.
You can almost think of them as the action pillar and the accountability pillar.
That's a great way to put it. The first one, Work Package 5, we can call it the product innovation pillar. They're the hands-on team.
Mm-hmm.
They take the recovered fibers from upstream and, you know, turn them into real, tangible, new products.
And the second one, Work Package 6, or the holistic assessment team, they're that crucial backbone. They audit every single step.
They make sure that what the innovation team builds is not just, you know, technically possible, but actually sustainable.
Sustainable, safe, and economically viable in the real world, yes.
So they're proving that it makes sense on every single metric.
It's the difference between just a cool prototype and a market-ready, fully verified process.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Starting with the action, with that product innovation pillar, they had a huge challenge, right? To integrate these imperfect recovered fibers into components that still meet really high performance demands.
That's the key. When you recycle composite fibers, they often come out shorter, or they're not as perfectly aligned as brand new virgin fibers.
So the innovation is figuring out which remanufacturing routes can even handle them.
And still give you a high-value product at the end.
Exactly.
So they started with the automotive sector, and they rolled out three pretty distinct applications.
Yeah, they needed to show versatility. The first one was a demo steering wheel, and for that, they used additive manufacturing.
3D printing.
3D printing, yeah. It shows how recycled chopped fibers can be put into these really complex, highly optimized component designs.
So you can put the material exactly where you need the strength.
Precisely. It's all about freedom of design.
Okay. Then there was the demo automotive shaft. For that, they used filament winding.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just walk us through that process a bit and why using recovered material makes it so tough?
Sure. So filament winding is a really precise process. You have machines that wind continuous fiber strands, usually carbon fiber, around a rotating mandrel.
It's perfect for making incredibly strong, hollow, cylindrical things like drive shafts.
Mm.
The difficulty, though, is that recovered fibers are often chopped or shorter.
Like we said, yeah.
So the team had to adapt the machinery, the resin formulation, everything, just to maintain that structural integrity. It's a major engineering feat.
And the third auto item was a demo formula seat using compression molding.
Right. Compression molding is where you take these pre-prepared sheets of material, like a mat of fibers mixed with resin, put it in a mold, and then hit it with high heat and pressure.
And that gets you those complex shapes you need for something like a racing seat.
Exactly. It proves the recovered fibers can handle the high stress and achieve the necessary performance.
Okay, so moving beyond cars, they also looked at large-scale structural uses.
Yeah, and this is where the waste volumes get enormous. Think wind turbine blades, huge boat hulls.
Right.
That's where the container pontoon house demonstrator comes in. It's this huge, tangible symbol of circularity.
And for that, they use an infusion process.
Yep. Showing that these recycled materials can be used for major structural components in, say, marine or even housing contexts, where you absolutely need durability and longevity.
Now, making the product is one thing, but proving it's actually recycled, that's a whole other challenge. This is where traceability comes in.
Absolutely. The trust layer here is essential. I mean, circularity claims only matter if you can verify them.
So what did they do?
They partnered with a company called Circularize to develop digital tools for secure data sharing all along the supply chain.
So from the person who processed the waste fiber?
All the way to the final assembler of the pontoon or the steering wheel, it creates an immutable record.
And what kind of data does that give the manufacturer at the end of the line?
Oh, it's critical. It's not just a tag that says recycled. It can verify the exact recycled content percentage, confirm that the material meets specific performance metrics.
And even the environmental savings.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that lets a manufacturer qualify for green government contracts, meet strict regulations, and importantly, secure a premium price for a certified sustainable product.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
So you've got the product. Now you need the independent metrics. Let's pivot to the holistic assessment team.
Right. Their job wasn't just to measure things. It was to hold the whole process accountable.
Against four key metrics: safety, environment, economy, and social impact.
You have to make sure that in trying to achieve circularity, you're not just creating new problems somewhere else.
I want to start with safety because they got so specific. They did real-world exposure assessments right on the facility floor.
Yeah, at the B&T facility during the carbon fiber manufacturing.
What were they looking for?
They zeroed in on the invisible hazards. They measured worker exposure to nanoscale and microscale particles, which is a big concern when you're handling recovered fibers.
Because they can be inhaled.
Highly respirable, yes. They also measured volatile organic compounds, the VOCs from the resins, and even noise levels. It's about building a database of safety protocols for this new supply chain.
And they also use digital modeling to predict risk.
Precisely. They use computational fluid dynamics, or CFD modeling.
Which is like, what, a digital wind tunnel for a workspace?
That's a great way to think about it. They simulate airflow and track how these invisible particles spread around a room, like in a 3D printing environment.
Which lets them figure out exactly where to put ventilation to protect workers.
It makes safety design proactive instead of reactive. It's a huge step.
Okay, let's talk environmental impact, because this is where the hard numbers really show the value. The life cycle assessment, or LCA?
The LCA is the gold standard. It lets you compare apples to apples. The impact of virgin material versus recycled material.
And they did a full hotspot analysis.
A really extensive one, comparing the baseline virgin scenarios to the circular ones that the product team achieved.
And the results from that container pontoon house?
Yeah.
They were, well, staggering.
They were seismic. By swapping virgin glass fabric for recycled glass fabric and the panels for that pontoon, the project achieved an over threefold environmental impact reduction.
Over threefold? So that's what, more than 66% cut?
For every single unit of product. It covers everything from energy use to emissions. It just blew the initial targets away.
That is the ultimate proof point. It's not just possible, it's massively, verifiably better for the environment. Mm. But does that matter if the cost is still way higher than using new material? This brings us to the life cycle costing, the LCC.
That is the critical question, and it's why LCC is so important.
Yeah.
The assessment team used it to analyze the economics of the most high-tech recycling method they used.
Which was the chemical-assisted solvolysis.
Right.
Can you quickly define solvolysis for us?
Sure. Solvolysis is probably the cleanest way to get really high-quality fibers back.
Mm.
It's a controlled chemical bath.
Okay.
Where special reagents, under heat and pressure, just dissolve the resin matrix, the glue, and cleanly release these pristine, intact fibers.
But it's expensive.
It's expensive. But the fiber you get back is incredibly high value.
So the LCC helped them figure out how to make that process cheaper.
Exactly. They analyzed the pilot scale operations and found the cost hotspots. And often it's not the chemistry itself.
It's things like energy consumption or waste treatment.
Exactly. Reagent recovery, energy for the heat and pressure. By mapping the LCC, the team gives a clear roadmap for how to scale up solvolysis and make it economically competitive with virgin materials.
And it wasn't just tech and finance. They looked at the human side, too.
Yes. The socioeconomic analysis was crucial. It gave them data on things like market perception. You know, will people accept products made from waste?
And what are the long-term benefits, like creating skilled jobs?
Yes, in this new circular supply chain.
All of these metrics, safety, environment, costs, social acceptance, they all come together in their final product, the holistic tool version 2.
And this tool is, it's pretty revolutionary for decision makers. It's a framework for what's called multi-criteria decision making.
So instead of just looking at cost or just the carbon footprint.
Right. It integrates 5 critical indicators: environmental, economic, circularity, performance, and social, all in one place.
So a company can't just pick the cheapest recycling process and call it green.
Precisely. It prevents greenwashing because it forces transparency. You can run complex scenarios, say comparing mechanical recycling versus solvolysis.
And see the trade-offs across all 5 areas.
Allowing for truly informed, responsible choices that balance cost and performance with ethics and the environment.
So what does this all mean for the immediate future of the project? They're wrapping up.
They are. Both pillars are in their final phase. The product innovation team is focused on finishing the manufacturing of those 4 demo cases.
The steering wheel, the shaft, the seat, and the pontoon.
Mm-hmm.
And the assessment team is compiling all that final data.
Correct. They're updating all the safety, environmental, and economic assessments with the data from these finished demonstrators.
Mm-hmm.
And the big deliverable. The final release of that holistic index tool, the plan is to make it openly accessible with a user manual so this framework can be applied globally.
And they've been very active in getting this work out there, right? We saw 2 peer-reviewed journal papers.
One on the CFD safety modeling,
yeah.
another on the comparative LCA and the socioeconomic analysis, yeah, plus conference presentations. They're making sure this research gets into the industrial bloodstream.
And for anyone who wants to see it all come together,
the project is hosting its final open workshop. It's on Friday, March 20th, 2026, and it will be hosted by Dallara in Parma, Italy.
That sounds like an incredible event. So what does this all mean at the end of the day? The core takeaway here is that these advanced materials...
materials we need for a low-carbon future.
They can be recovered and reused, but only if that process is rigorously, holistically validated.
It means we've moved past just the technical challenge of can we get the fiber back. The new frontier is proving that the recovered material is safe, environmentally superior, economically viable, and fully traceable.
That traceability and holistic assessment, it's like the cost of entry into the future of circular economy.
It is.
This whole deep dive into YearComp really points to a profound shift, you know? The expectation of verifiable sustainability, the standards they've applied are incredibly high.
We're seeing performance and planet being assessed with equal weight for the first time in a systematic way.
Which raises a really important question for you, the listener, to think about going forward. If high-performance materials like composites now require this level of verifiable safety, digital traceability, and holistic assessment to enter a circular economy, how long before this complex multi-criteria assessment becomes the mandatory global standard for all materials, everywhere, from simple plastics to steel?
It feels like a question of when, not if.
When does the bar for sustainability get raised this high for everyone? A question to think about.